Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
If you're new here, my name is Paula. I'm one of the pastors. Welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 if you would like to get a head start. If you don't have a Bible, there are free Bibles in the lobby you can pick up on your way out today. Or you can download YouVersion. It's a great app to have. It's Bible on an app. It's also the app that we use as a church for our daily devotions that go right along with our series. We are in the final week of our series, The Generosity Secret. Pastor Brad talked the first week about discovering contentment, and last week he talked about conquering greed. And today we're going to be talking about something that's very simple to say, but really hard to live out, and that's giving freely. The title of the message is Give Freely, because there's something inside of each of us where we want to be generous, and we are. We're generous, and we give. But we don't give freely because there's also something inside of us that wants to hold on tight. So how do we live a life where we give freely? Let's look at verse 17. Again, this is 1 Timothy 6. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He's written a letter. Paul is a leader, and Timothy is a young leader of this church. And Paul is writing him a letter of instructions. And he says to Timothy, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money for good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so they may experience true life. Let's pray. God, we just open up ourselves to you today to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. We open up our ears to hear, and we just soften our hearts to receive what you have for us. This is a tough subject, but we're just open to hear from you, to transform us, to set us free from holding too tight and to be able to give freely. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. Well, God has quite the sense of humor because he has me up here preaching today on giving freely, on generous giving. And this is one of the core practices that I really struggle with. Now, I do give, and I am generous, but I don't give freely. And there's a difference between the two. And my guess is that most of us in the room has this struggle with giving freely. You might know somebody who gives freely. They're the ones who they don't even hesitate. They just give. It's natural to them. It's just who they are. You might have somebody in your household that's like that, or you might be like me, and you may be married to somebody who just gives freely. Curtis is one of the most generous people that I know. He gives without thinking about it. I don't even... Oh, what's going on here? I'm going to get to that part of his personality in a minute, okay? But he is the most generous person that I know. He really does just give out of his heart. It's so natural to him. To give you an example of the difference between us and the difference between giving and giving freely, this time of year, there's the angel tree. Curtis, all year, buys gifts for the angel tree. Inside his man cave, in a corner, he's got Barbies, baby dolls, Tonka trucks. He's ready for the angel tree. I don't even think about the angel tree until I pass by it at the mall. And then I stop and think, you know, I should really pick an angel. That's the difference between giving and giving freely. One time we were at Waffle House, up at 61st and Aspen. Anybody Waffle House? Okay. Can we just be honest for a minute? And we're friends here, right? We just be honest. We don't go to Waffle House for the peace and quiet. We don't go to Waffle House for the ambiance. We go to the Waffle House for the show. Right? There's so much going on there. Curtis loves it. Whenever we go there, he always wants to sit up at the counter because he wants to be right in the middle of the action. He wants to see the cook cooking, and he wants to see the waitress when she calls out his hash browns scattered and smothered and covered. Right? And the drama that goes on behind the scenes there. I mean, that between the waitresses and between the girls and the cook, there's always so much drama. And he wants to be right in the middle of it, stirring the pot. Does that sound more like him? Okay. They're like, that's the Curtis we know from the coffee bar right there. But he talks to everybody, and, you know, the waitresses are always calling him sugar and honey, you know, all that that Southern style hospitality. But he just chats it up with everybody. And one time the waitress was just telling her story. She was having a really hard day because she had wrecked her car. She had run into like a mailbox or something and had broken the side mirror off of her car. And she was like dead broke. And this was like the last straw for her. And she was so discouraged. Now, my heart was like, I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for a breakthrough for her. Because she needs a break. She needs something to turn around. Mr. Action over here is like, oh, no, we're going to help her. We're going to go and buy her a mirror and bring it back. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're gonna go, that's a lot. I mean, can't we just like give her five extra bucks on her tip? And he's like, no, we're going to help her. And so he did, he went and bought her a mirror and brought it back to her. Recently, just last week actually, he was generous to someone and they wrote him a thank you letter. I mean, an actual handwritten letter on stationery. I have it here. It says, thank you so much. In a world where so many people take, you have shown amazing generosity to us, our kids, and our grandkids. Thank you for being a godly example. I want to be that person. I want to be a godly example. I want to be someone who impacts three generations. She said that his one act of generosity affected us, our kids, and our grandkids. I want to be that person. I want to give so generously, give so freely, that it points people to Jesus, that people see Jesus in me. How do we take hold of that in our lives? How do we learn to give so freely that people see Jesus? Let's look at scripture. Verse 17 says, teach those, and say it with me, who are rich in this world. Paul is talking about the rich Christians, the Christians, the followers of Jesus who are in church, who have money. He says, don't be proud. Don't trust in your money because it's so unreliable. Write this down. If you're new here, we have note cards in your seat back pocket. But write this down. To give freely, I need to recognize that I am rich in this world. To give freely, I need to recognize that I am rich in this world. Now, I can see your faces like you're pushing back on me. Not me. I'm not rich. I mean, I'm just trying to make ends meet. I'm just doing the best I can. I'm just trying to pay my bills. I mean, Christmas is coming up. It's going to be tough. You know, honestly, I would really like to just be able to walk into Walmart and buy a dozen eggs. Right? Like, what happened to our eggs? But we point to other people and we say, I'm not rich, but you know who is rich? I can tell you who's rich. Anybody who makes more money than me, that's who's rich. And it doesn't really matter if they make $5,000 more or $10,000 more. If you make more money than me, you're the rich one. We also say, anyone who has more stuff than me, if you have one more car, one more TV, one more room in your house, if you have better stuff than me, right? You're the rich one. I'm not rich. Anyone who can spend their money more freely than me, that's the one who's rich. You know, like your friend that went on vacation and posted all their pictures on social media, and you're like, see where they got to go? See what they got to do? And do you know that's their second vacation this year? They're rich. And definitely, anyone who has moved here from California, we all know those are the rich ones. I can remember when Curtis and I, years ago, moved here from Virginia, and we thought we were rich because we were able to buy a house that was twice the size for half the money. So we felt rich until we discovered the income difference here. It was a lot lower, and we didn't feel so rich anymore. But the truth is that in this room, we are very wealthy. We are some of the wealthiest people in the world. The average household income in Broken Arrow is $85,000 a year. If your household income is $85,000 a year, did you know that you were in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world? And you might be saying, nope, I don't make that much. Well, if you are your household income is $50,000 a year, you're still in the top 12% of the wealthiest people in the world. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? When we live here in the U.S. and we compare to people here in the U.S., it's hard to imagine that we could be in the top 5, 10% of the wealthiest people in the world. But when you get outside of the United States, when you go to other places around the world, you will come face to face with this reality. This happened to me. I went to Peru on a mission trip, and I met a mom and her four kids. I have a picture of them. There they are. I don't remember the mom's name. This is about, I don't know, 11 years ago or so. I don't remember her name, but the oldest daughter, the one in the red shirt with the sunglasses on, her name is Elizabeth. And I remember her because she was deaf and she could not speak. And those sunglasses are my son's. She was so just excited about his sunglasses, and so he gave them to her. And man, she thought she was rich. But the mom shared her story with me. There had been an earthquake in Peru that just devastated so much of Peru, and her house and everything in it was destroyed. She was living on the streets. It was after the earthquake. Her husband abandoned them. He just walked away from his wife and his four kids and just left them in the streets. A neighbor found her and invited her to come and live with them. They said, come on, we want to take you off the streets, give you a place to live. She's telling me about this, and she's so excited. And she wants to show me where she lives. She says, I want you to see my home, because she was so proud that she had a home. So she took me into the house, and we walked all the way into the back of the house. We walked into a room that would be equivalent to a basement here. It was unfinished. It had all their storage stuff, boxes everywhere. And the homeowner had carved out a path through all their storage back to the back corner. And in that back corner, there was a 10 by 10 spot. And they had hung tarps down. And inside those tarps was one mattress that she shared with her four children.
It was all they had. She didn't have access to the rest of the house. So the homeowner gave her a little grill so she could cook for her family. They punched a hole in the ceiling so when she used the grill, the smoke would go up through the ceiling. She was so thankful that she was no longer on the streets. And I am telling you, I was overwhelmed by her gratitude. Because I have never had as much gratitude as she had for one mattress. I have not had that kind of gratitude for all of the possessions that I have. And I think sometimes we have to check ourselves and we have to ask, when was the last time I had pure gratitude to God for all the things that I have? Because people around the world have so little. We see this when our missionaries go to Guatemala on a mission trip. If you go on that trip, you're going to see that. You're going to see people who live with so little. We see this in our refugee camp in Kakuma. They have nothing. They are completely dependent on outside resources. Meanwhile, back here in the U.S., we're already Black Friday shopping. And Cyber Monday's coming up, and it's not just a Monday anymore. It's for all week. We get started on our Black Friday shopping and our Cyber Monday shopping, and we forget all about In Debt Tuesday. Can't pay my bills Wednesday. I don't need all this stuff Thursday. We have so much, and it's still not enough. Will you turn to someone next to you and say, we are rich in this world. We are rich in this world. Now turn back to them and say, I am rich. I am rich. Because we have to recognize that we are rich in this world. Let's go back to verse 17. It says, teach those who are rich in this world, say, that's me. Not to be proud, not to trust in their money because it's so unreliable. Their trust should be in God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, what this is not saying that there's something wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with having money. The issue is when we trust money and we don't trust God. When we hold on to our money instead of trusting God with it. And the danger is when what we have becomes what we trust. And money will compete for your trust. Write this down. To give freely, I need to decide whether I trust God or money. To give freely, I need to decide whether I trust God or money. Why do we trust our money anyway? Scripture tells us it's unreliable. We know this from experience that it's unreliable. I mean, you get a bonus check at work. You put it in your pocket. And you're like, I got money in my pocket now. And on the way home, you blow a tire. And you've got to get a tow truck out there. You go to the tire guy, you go see Kurt, and he tells you all your tires are shot. You need all four. Now guess who gets your bonus? Right there. Maybe you get a raise. And you're like, yeah, I'm in the money now. I've got more money coming every week. And a couple days later, you get a letter in the mail. Your rent's going up. Or they have reassessed the value of your home. And so now your taxes and your insurance are going up. And there goes your raise. Or maybe your family has saved diligently, given up other things for the dream vacation that you want to take, and you've got it all planned. And then the hot water tank goes out. And not only do you have to buy a new hot water tank, but you have to pay for delivery, unless you know Curtis, he'll deliver it. But you got to pay for delivery, and you have to hire a plumber. And there goes your savings, and there goes the vacation. What happens is that we start to hold on to our money because I'm going to need it. But the truth is, Scripture tells us, and the Scripture is true, the truth is, money is unreliable. But Jesus is our stability, He's our security, He's our provider, He's our safety net. So how do we learn to trust God and not money? This might surprise you, but how you learn to trust God is by opening your hands and giving freely. Look at verse 18. It says, tell them, that's us, we're still talking to us, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works, and say this with me, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. We have to hold money with open hands. We have to be willing to see a need and meet it. Verse 19 says, by doing this, they will, again, that's us, we will be storing up our treasure as good foundation for the future so they may experience true life. Our treasure, our true life is people. It's people receiving the love of Jesus. It's people receiving eternal life. That's our treasure. That's our true life. So write this down. To give freely, I need to live with open hands. To give freely, I need to live with open hands. Now, this is challenging sometimes, especially when you live with someone who gives so freely. Curtis one time was looking at an online auction, which he likes to do, and he was looking at a 15-passenger shuttle bus. And he says to me, I think we're supposed to buy this shuttle bus and donate it to an organization, a ministry that transports people. And I'm like, my heart's racing. Not because I'm so excited about the opportunity to give, but because I'm in a panic. Because I'm thinking, how much is a 15-passenger shuttle bus anyway? And where does he think we're going to pull that money from? And I'm contemplating, can't we just fix somebody else's mirror? But I've been married to Curtis for a long time. And I mean a long time. And I know that in these moments, the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. And he's listening to the Holy Spirit. So my question is, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to give freely, do you listen or do you question? You know, I'm not sure if this is God's voice. I might need to pray about it for a few weeks or so. I'm not sure. Can I help you out this morning? It's not Satan's voice. Satan is not going to tell you to give freely. Satan is not going to tell you to fix someone's mirror. Satan is not going to tell you to buy a shuttle bus and donate it. Satan's not going to tell you to meet someone's needs. And it's for sure not your own voice, because your voice is selfish. Your voice is all about me. I've got to take care of my needs. I need this money. But I realize in this moment, Chris is listening to the Holy Spirit. And anytime God speaks, the answer is always, always yes. So I say, yes, go ahead, bid on this shuttle bus. So he bids on it and he wins it. He gets this shuttle bus for only $2,500. Like, that's a miracle right there. 2 days later, it's the day where we have to go and pay for it and pick it up. And I'm still asking God, where's this money coming from? And Curtis gets a call that morning. And the call was from a friend of his. Those of you who have been around for a while, you remember when Reese's wasn't there. It was soccer fields, and there was goals, the soccer goals all over there. Well, this friend of his was affiliated with the soccer fields and called him up and said, hey, look, our tournament is tonight in Owosso, and we need the goals to be moved to Owosso. We had a company hired to do it, and they just backed out. This requires a truck and a trailer, which is no problem for Curtis. So the friend said, do you want the job? It pays $3,000. That's right. God is so faithful. He always gives back what you give, and even sometimes plus some, so we can be more generous. I'm over here. I'm like, yeah, we made out on this deal, right? So I've got my Lowe's wish list out. I'm like, I'm going to do a home improvement project. Curtis says, hey, we can pay for the tag, the title, and decal it for them. I'm like, oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. To give freely, I have to live with open hands. This week really starts our holiday season, and it starts our shopping season. What if this season we decided to give the gift of generosity? What would that look like? It doesn't have to be a $3,000 bus. It might be. It happens. But it could be replacing someone's mirror. It could be helping out your neighbor who lost their job with their electric bill. Did you know that you can go to a utilities company and you can pay on somebody's bill and they don't even have to know it was you? The companies also have assistance programs to help when people are in need. And you can donate towards that. Giving the gift of generosity could look like your kid has a friend who's not going to have Thanksgiving dinner because things are just way too tight. And you could buy them a meal. It could look like your coworker who's going through a divorce. And this Christmas is going to be really difficult. And you can buy them a gift card. Help ease that up a little bit. In a world where so many people take, as followers of Jesus, we are called to give freely. We are called to be a godly example. We are called to be so generous that people see Jesus. Imagine the impact that we could have on generations if we would trust God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and live with open hands.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.